Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Oh, it was another interesting day in the neighborhood for the trial of Karen Reed. We're going to watch some of the redirect on this in just a moment. But the clips, the clips, the clips, the clips, the clips. Gotta hand it to Brennan. He's a pretty good master of the clips.
Yes.
He'd be a good DJ. He just seems to know when to play things at specific times. And there's a bit to dissect here. Three clips in a row. We're going to play that first, and then we'll go into some of the trial coverage of the day. Let's go over here and... All right, let's get the clips rolling. One moment, please. All right, here we go. Karen's damning words is what I named the file, because I don't think there is a better title for these ones.
So the approach from the north, we actually missed the turn. And John says to me, it's Fairview, we just passed it. It's back there, it's on my left. I said, all right. So I pull into a nose into a driveway and back out onto the street, which I now own as Cedar Crest, and then come from the north onto Fairview.
Okay.
That like was the next play, clip 25.
At 12:41, I leave a voicemail to John where you can clearly, and this will probably be played on Monday, you can clearly hear me pull into John's garage. You can hear my car sensors beeping as I come close to the sides of the garage truck. And then you get the car go off, and then you hear the sled ding, 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 as I open the door, shut the door, I had high heels on at night, you hear me walk in, go into the stairs up into the kitchen, shut the door, you hear me walk in the kitchen. It's like a full minute long. That's at 12:41.
Let's start there.
Okay.
And unpack what was just said. Well, we know for sure her car sensors work.
Right. Oh, I have the same problem when I pull in the garage. It's like...
As she so gently pointed out there with her sound effects. So we know they work. Meaning if she hit John, she would have been probably aware of it.
And the car, I imagine, would go, sensors went off. Mm-hmm. That should be somewhere in the software that, there was an object coming close.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I want to go back to the clip again. So 12:41. So this is her timeline, because this timeline is going to be important here in just a moment.
I leave a voicemail to John where you can clearly, and this will probably be played on Monday, you can clearly hear me pull into John's garage. You can hear my car sensors beeping as I come close to the side of the garage.
The sensors work.
And then you hear the car go off, and then you hear the sled ding, 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 as I open the door, shut the door, I have high heels on at night, you hear me walk in, go into the stairs up into the kitchen, shut the door, you hear me walk into the kitchen. It's like a full minute long. That's at 12:41.
12:41 is when all that's going on, according to her.
I do. I mean, I'll tell you, John and I argue the morning of the 28th, Friday morning. So we think he died right around 12:25, 12:30.
We think he died around 12:25 or 12:30. Okay, Karen.
Well, he wasn't dead till he got to the hospital, right?
Well, they declared him dead. But Karen, you were with him at that time. And it puts you right there pretty much at the moment you're there and leaving. So this completely, if that's when he died, there is no possibility for the he got beat up in the house story.
No, that doesn't work.
It's just like gone. Poof.
Again, it's her mouth.
Yes.
There's a little more to this one.
Earlier in the morning, January 29th.
So I almost like wonder if she's catching herself here a little bit as she's talking.
I do. I mean, I'll tell you, John and I argue the morning of the 28th, Friday morning. So he died, we think he died right around 12:25, 12:30 on earlier in the morning, January 29th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. And who's we?
Yeah. As you just said that, I went, wait a second. Who is we?
Her and her dad.
Oh. Ooh, they should call dad to the stand.
They might. They very well might. I believe he's on the list. I think he's on the list. Maybe he's not, because he's in there every day. So maybe he's not on the list. I don't know. I thought he was at one point. Could be wrong. But they should at this point. Because you got the interview with him saying that she told him that she struck something. This couldn't be like handed over any easier. Like, she's basically just killing her story and offering herself up on a platter of I'm guilty.
Yeah. Well, you know, without that docuseries, this is a much more difficult case. But boy, with this, it's a slam dunk, it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, I think she would have talked to anybody at the end of the day. But yeah. Thank God that docuseries asked the questions the way they did and kept their foot, their cutting room footage, and were willing to give it all up to be presented here in this trial.
Boy, there's a lot of data there, isn't there?
And she sure thought, remember at the beginning of that one, this is going to be my testimony. It sure as shit is, Karen.
It is, honey. You're right.
It is your testimony.
The first thing she's been right about this entire time.
My God. She didn't have a whole lot to say coming out of court today either.
Would you?
No, I mean, it was like, it was a really, really short one where it was something to the effect of anything to say about those clips?
No.
Nope.
It's like the first time she had nothing to say. I mean, I know the other day she kind of brushed off things too, but this was a very, Karen, I think moment. I think she's sensing her goose may be cooked.
It's stacking against her right now.
I know the big excitement yesterday, of course, was the DNA on the taillight. Also then you have the time stamp guy who put the times together, and it looks like a phone stops working or stops being active and locks at precisely the time the vehicle registers a strike. But then everybody wanted to focus on his bachelor's degree that he didn't quite finish. That has nothing to do with the case at all. And how it was represented on LinkedIn.
I went down the rabbit hole of that too.
Like, I get credibility matters, but at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about LinkedIn and a website where somebody, you know, basically transcribed in his bio.
Who really uses LinkedIn these days? I can't tell you the last time I've been to it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only reason I have gone to it is because I want somebody to know that I've looked at her profile.
Yeah. So I know they're going for a reasonable doubt, and you know that's a T that should have been crossed and a die and an I that should have been dotted before this guy got on the stand. And they should have had that ironed out. But I think that caught the prosecution by surprise. Brennan did a pretty good. rebuttal back when he got his chance to everything that was being thrown out there earlier by Alessi. Let's watch some of that.
Do we get to hear him say correct again?
I'm sure there'll probably be a few corrects in there.
So if you're doing a drinking game, please drink responsibly because it could get out of control.
You could be Karen Reed level drunk.
Well, yeah, we don't want that.
That's near death.
Yeah, that's not good.
Then you're going to accidentally hit somebody and lie about it or forget about it or whatever about it.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Thank you for that opportunity, Your Honor.
Here comes... Leslie's sitting down, and I think Brennan's about to start.
Start the rampage.
Yeah. I thought I had it queued up a little bit better, but we're almost there.
Well, we'll let you off this time.
Here he comes with his big old binder. Two binders.
Good afternoon.
Double bindering it.
Good afternoon.
Correct.
Correct.
Do you know what a sequestration order is?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
So it would be an order to not view any testimony of a trial, is my general understanding.
Does that mean that you can't watch any of it on television?
Correct.
Do you understand whether or not you can speak to attorneys about testimony? Is that precluded as well?
I'm not aware either way.
Has anybody ever spoken to you about any testimony about that occurred in this trial before you testified?
No, they have not.
Have I ever discussed, intimated, or suggested any information whatsoever to you about arguments, testimony, or anything about this case as it's ongoing?
No, you have not.
Do you follow the rules, sir?
Yes, I do.
Have you followed them in this case?
Yes, I have.
When you gave your opinions and you've testified, do you have any information or knowledge about this trial as it actually occurred until the point when you testified?
No, I do not.
You were asked some questions about your CV. A CV is a resume?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you were asked about a LinkedIn account?
Yes, I was.
Is your LinkedIn account different than your CV?
Yes, it is.
And in this case, when did you learn that your LinkedIn account was wrong or had not been updated? When was the first time you learned that?
That was yesterday.
When you started your LinkedIn account, do you remember when it was you set it up?
I do not. It would have been maybe 10 years ago or more.
Do you routinely update your LinkedIn account?
No, I do not.
This is the best advertising LinkedIn's gotten in like a long
time. Yeah. LinkedIn account, the section
just shows no one uses it.
Exactly. For education, whether graduated or ongoing. Do you remember filling out that section?
I don't particularly remember filling it out, but obviously I did at some point.
When you were asked about Aperture's website, how many experts are associated with Aperture?
I could give you a rough number between 80 and 100.
How many offices?
15 or so.
Are you involved in the website design or content?
No, I'm not.
Do you know if Aperture gets the information from their website directly from LinkedIn?
I don't know where they get all of their information from.
Did you ever weigh in or develop your information that was on Aperture's website?
No, not on the website.
You do provide CVs before you come to court, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And in this case, you were asked by the defense, when you provide your CV, do you understand that it's going to be reviewed by whoever requested, the Commonwealth or the defense?
Yes, I do.
And that it will be shared with both sides in the court?
Yes.
In fact, the first time you provided a CV in this case, was it October 11, 2014?
Objection, Your Honor.
So the leading nature sustained.
Do you remember the first time you provided a CV in this case?
It would have been around October.
What year?
Of 2024, sorry.
And when you provided that, was it as an exhibit to something?
Yes, if I recall, it was as an exhibit to the initial protocol that I sent out.
And when you submitted that CV, did you appreciate whether or not it would be part of a court filing in public?
Yes, I did.
I could have exhibit 183, please.
Should have been made sure that it was correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Cracked.
Cracked.
183. You could enlarge the top section. Right there is good. And sir, when you provided this CV to be filed with the court and made public, did you indicate that you had obtained a bachelor degree?
No, I did not.
Why did you put currently pursuing?
Because I am currently pursuing a bachelor's degree.
And did you understand your CV was received by the defense and they knew this?
Yes, I do understand that.
Subsequently, you were asked to provide an updated CV in April 2025?
Yes, I was.
Did you do that?
I did.
And can we have exhibit 184? Did you further appreciate this would be provided to both the court and the defense?
Yes, I did.
Did you represent to the defense that your education included earning a bachelor degree?
No, I did not.
You've testified in, you can take that down, please. You've testified in many other cases?
I have, yes.
In courts around the country?
Yes, I have.
And when you've testified in other courts around the country, do you know whether there are transcripts of your actual testimony?
Yes, I believe there are.
Have you ever represented in any court that you achieved your bachelor's degree?
No, I have not.
Have you ever inflated your qualifications in a court?
No, I have not.
When I asked you about some of your background, you told us that you had certificates in Cellebrite and Axiom. I didn't go through all of the qualifications and all of the accomplishments you had, did I?
No, you did not.
Do you have professional certifications, GIAC, Advanced Smartphone Forensic Analysis?
Yes, I do.
Do you have professional certification from CCME, Cellebrite Certified Mobile Examiner?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Do you have professional certifications as a magnet certified forensic examiner?
Sustained for the same reason.
I'm sorry?
Sustained for the same reason.
Do you have a number of certificates that I did not ask you about?
Yes, you did.
Can you share some of those with us?
Sure. So one of those is going to be GIAC, Advanced Smartphone Forensics. So that's going to be Global Information Assurance Certification. And that is basically a 40-hour class with a, or 48-hour class with a test at the end to get that certification. There is also a Cellebrite Certified Mobile Examiner certification. That is specifically to, you know, kind of demonstrate your knowledge of the Cellebrite software, as well as Magnet Forensics certifications, again, for their software specifically.
Any certifications regarding computer hacking?
What was that last part? Sorry.
Any certifications regarding computer hacking?
No, not currently.
Okay. Did you also take any classes regarding crash data or Bosch?
Yes, I have.
What do you have for certificates in that arena?
So those certifications would be crash data retrieval technician and crash data retrieval analyst. So those courses would be around acquiring and analyzing crash data from airbag control modules.
You mentioned that you had over 700 hours.
Yes, I do.
Of classes and certification?
Yes, that's of classes and classes and seminars or conferences, specifically in digital forensics or vehicle forensics.
Do you need a bachelor's degree to be competent and achieve in this area?
No, I do not.
Is a bachelor's degree a prerequisite of success in a particular field?
No, it is not.
You ever hear of Bill Gates?
Yes.
Stephen Jobs?
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey?
Sustained.
You had become engaged in this case in October 2024?
Correct.
And when you first became engaged, you had a chance to look at photographs and some data?
Yes, I did.
At that point, you hadn't had a chance. Did you have had you had a chance to actually inspect any of the physical property?
No, I had not.
Did you have an understanding that somebody else did?
Yes, I did.
Who?
Miss Gaffney and a number of other people with the MSP.
Attended some type of procedure?
Correct.
And do you know who led the actual procedure?
As far as I'm aware, it would have been Miss Gaffney.
The defense expert?
Correct.
You filed a protocol. What was the purpose in October when you first got involved of filing a protocol?
Sure. So the first purpose of the protocol was just to address the fact that we were missing data that we expected and address a potential solution to gather more data.
Without having looked at the physical property, the actual boards, how did you conclude simply on data and photographs that there was missing data?
Sure. So that would be reviewing the initial data that was provided and not seeing user data like I would expect. And that's because there's a number of different chips that are on a circuit board for an infotainment or a telematics or any other module. And there's a number of different data bearing chips. The purpose of those chips will vary. Some chips' main purpose is to store user data. Some chips' main purpose is to store software or firmware. So if you're gathering, you know, acquiring data from chips that only have software and firmware, then you would not expect or you would not see user data within those chips.
When you made that analysis and concluded that there was missing data, had there been any report provided by Ms. Gaffney suggesting there was missing data?
No, there was not.
Had there been any analysis or opinion alerting that there was missing data?
No, there was not.
Was there anything to indicate that the person who did this test missed data at that point?
No, not at that point.
When you decided to write a protocol so you could actually look at the boards and do an analysis, did you put that protocol in writing?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember if that was around October 10, 2024?
That sounds familiar, yes.
Now, when you were cross-examined, the attorney asked you if you knew what the word mendacity meant. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And you didn't know. Do you now know that means to lie or be untruthful?
Sustained.
He didn't ask you a question. He just asked you if you knew what the word was. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you remember he also, on cross-examination, suggested that when you had your mistake about megabytes, megabits, it was the defense expert that alerted you to that mistake? Do you remember that suggestion by the defense?
Yes, I do.
Did they ever show you the documents so you could see the chronology?
No, they did not.
Okay. You wrote a report on October 10, 2024. Did you then write another report, a supplemental protocol?
Yes, so I did write that initial protocol and then a supplemental protocol.
Was that on October 17, 2024?
That sounds about right.
When you wrote that a week later, at that point, had you realized your mistake?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Why did you...
Please.
Okay.
They're sounding a little angry. What? There's Karen. Karen's getting up for the sidebar.
I'm going to be really petty here for just a second. Yeah. I really enjoy her outfits.
Well, you should. I mean,
they're a sharp dresser.
Yeah, and they were breaking down the price of it the other day.
For real?
Yeah, on Twitter. It was thousands of dollars for each outfit.
Well, I've got very expensive taste, so that's why I...
Well,
gets my attention, her suits do.
That's what the Karen Reed Legal Defense Fund is going towards. her buying, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 outfits. You know?
Yeah.
That's how that works. And well, I'm not saying I know that, but I'm saying I know that. You know, that's, yeah, because she says she's not paying the attorneys. Expert witnesses, they certainly cost money. You know, lodging, all that stuff, that costs money. But not $1 million. Not $1 million. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, did they give up brands? I'm sorry.
Here we go. Everybody's coming back. Karen's sitting back down.
They look like fitted suits, to be honest with you. I'm just going to say, like custom tailored.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. As I'm sitting here in my hoodie.
When you realized your error, what did you do?
So I intended to correct it with a supplemental protocol.
Correct.
When you corrected it with a supplemental protocol, do you remember what date that was?
Not specifically, I do not.
Okay. If I showed you your report, would that help your memory?
Yes, it would.
May I approach?
Yes.
Please don't read this, just look at it. And if it refreshes your memory, let me know, and then I'll ask you a question.
Yes, it does.
When did you correct your error with the supplemental protocol?
That was on October 17th, 2024.
Okay. So he's established his credibility as being and certified in many, many areas that actually matter. In this case,
that you received any information from Mr. DeSorga?
No, I do not specifically.
Do you remember the date when Mr. DeSorga's information was first filed?
No, I do not.
Okay. And do you know if it was, whether it was after your October 17th supplementary report?
Not specifically, but I believe it was after.
Okay. And so when it was suggested that you had to be schooled or advised by Mr. DeSorga. Was that accurate?
Objection, Your Honor.
Worded differently.
The claim that was made that you weren't aware until someone advised you of your error, was that true?
No, that was untrue.
When you realized it was an error and put it in a report, were you ever dissuaded from publicly alerting all the parties of your mistake?
No.
Do you leave stuff in or out of a report if you find it helpful or hurtful to one side?
No, I do not.
Have you, in this effort that you've made in this case, have you always been encouraged to provide all information regardless of what it is?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
Yes, I have.
And who's encouraged you to always provide all information, regardless of what
it
says?
No one. So my job is to assist the jury. So the jury, assisting the jury means presenting all the information.
Have you ever been discouraged by me?
No, I have not.
When you looked at the photographs and you looked at the boards without actually touching them, how long did it take you to figure out that there was some other vehicle for data?
Sure. So it took a few times to look at the photographs before I identified the micro SD card slot.
You were asked whether it's important to be accurate and reliable. Is it in this field?
Yes, it is.
And if data is not found on the chips, is it a standard practice to look elsewhere?
Yes, that would be a standard practice.
Was that done in this case before you became involved?
No, it was not.
Who was the first person to identify where the missing information was?
Myself.
What happens if you miss information because you don't see it?
So if you miss information, that's information that won't help in the analysis.
In this case, the information on the SD card that you found, how important was that to this entire analysis?
It was important to timestamp certain events.
Without that information in the SD card, would you have been able to so accurately timestamp certain events?
No, not so accurately.
Before you were involved, was that information, that very important information for timestamps, was that available for either side?
No, it was not.
Is it now?
It is.
You were asked about Birla. When Birla did not have updated software to simply plug into a car and download the information, what process would have to be used?
Sure. So best practice for vehicle forensics is if the module or a vehicle is not supported by a forensic tool, would be to remove that module, or let me start over, manually document the screens on that infotainment module if it's available and it can be powered up. But then also going through disassembling the module, identifying any type of chips or SD cards that may hold data, and acquiring that data.
Is that called a chip-off process?
It is called a chip-off process.
Does it describe the process well, chip-off?
Yes, it does.
Since Ms. Gaffney did the original analysis and did that chip-off, has the software updated?
Yes.
And is that the Birla software?
No, I'm sorry. So she has not done a updated analysis with the Birla software.
But has the Birla software itself updated?
So the Birla software itself has updated, but it is limited to, again, plugging in a USB into the infotainment module while it's in the car running.
Does the updates in Birla software have anything to do with the SD card?
No, it does not.
Why not?
Because, again, they're going a different route to acquire data. And they are acquiring a limited amount of data through what's called diagnostic logs. So if you think of diagnostic logs, your radio unit is keeping logs of any time things happen on the radio for manufacturer's, you know, purposes. So Birla is taking those logs and they can interpret some of those logs. They are not, you know, acquiring all the data that is on the SD card itself.
You have drafted a number of reports in this case?
I have, yes.
Regarding the chip-off process, did Ms. Gaffney ever write a report?
No, not that I'm aware of.
When you wrote reports in this case, do you expect for them to be shared?
Yes, I do.
When other experts, like, for example, Mr. DeSorga writes a report, do you expect to have a copy and review it?
Yes.
Sustained.
What is the standard practice when there are reports from different experts regarding the same subject matter?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Is there a standard practice regarding reviewing reports from similar experts in similar subject matter?
Sure. So anytime a report is written by an expert, that report would be provided and shared with opposing experts.
Reports, do they always come at the same time in a case?
No, they do not.
When you wrote your reports, how would you provide them so they could be disseminated?
Sure. So that I would typically provide them to the client or the attorney that hired me, and then that would be disseminated from there.
Did you have an opportunity to receive Mr. DeSorga's March 5th, 2025 PowerPoint?
Yes, I did.
Were you provided that by me, the Commonwealth?
Yes, I was.
And were you asked or given any direction on what you could or should do?
No, I was not.
Were you ever asked to reach any particular result?
No, I was not.
Were you ever asked to avoid anything?
No, I was not.
What did you see your role as when you had to receive a report from another expert like Mr. DeSorga?
Sure. So when I receive a report, I would typically review it and then make a decision if it's better to address any issues in that report through testimony or address those with a supplemental report.
And in that analysis, do you follow your own discretion or do you follow directions of the client?
No, I would follow my own discretion.
Did you ever receive any direction on what you should and shouldn't do regarding considering Mr. DeSorga's report?
No, I did not.
When you looked at Mr. DeSorga's report, did you have concerns about his report?
I did, yes.
I want to talk about his report in detail. Before we get there, share with us what your general concerns were about Mr. DeSorga's report when you reviewed the whole report.
Sure. So what Mr. DeSorga does is take a couple different adjustment methods to attempt to adjust the clock from the Lexus with the iPhone. But what he does is takes a lot of methods or data points that are not applicable to the time that we're interested in.
What do you mean? Can you explain with a little more specificity what he does?
Sure. So if you think about it, your clock is constantly, you know, changing as far as it syncs up with other GPS satellites or network time servers, and it's updating constantly. So a clock variance between two devices may be different at, say, 12 o'clock in the day versus 1 o'clock in the day. So best practice is to choose an event that is nearest to your time in question. So you have the most appropriate adjustment for that clock variance.
Mr. DeSorga's analysis, did he choose the event most closely tied to the backing up event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
The backing up event. Are you familiar with that time frame?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Was Mr. DeSorga's analysis based on information most closely related to that event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
What information did Mr. DeSorga choose to use for that analysis relative to the backing up event?
Sure. So he chose a couple things. That's going to be call logs that happened on both devices or that was recorded on both devices, as well as a GPS point, data point, which was incorrectly identified as being near that or encompassing that 3-point turn. So what we did is did a, you know, more thorough analysis of that 3-point turn event when it occurred within the iPhone data, and then compared that and adjusted with the Lexus.
Explain to us your concern about using call logs.
Sure. So there's a number of call logs that you saw earlier that were recorded by the phone and the Lexus. The one thing you'll notice, and it's hard to kind of go back to it without the graph, but the calls that happened between 1 and 5 o'clock that morning actually happened when the car was powered off. We know that based on the power on and power off events. So those timestamps that are recorded with that 2-second and 1-second offset is actually from Mrs. Reed's iPhone as she gets back in the vehicle and her phone connects up and syncs back up. So the 8-second and the 16 or 21-second offset are the only offsets that we have to compare to calls.
Was that a concern?
It was a concern.
Why?
Because if you're using the 1 and 2-second offsets, that could be misleading because it's not actually comparing the Lexus clock with the iPhone clock from Mr. O'Keefe.
What's it doing?
It's comparing the Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone clock with Mrs. Reed's iPhone clock.
What other concerns?
Sure. So the other concern was a GPS point known as GPS 154, which, if you remember, yesterday we talked about a little bit. So that was misidentified as being the end or towards the end of that 3-point turn. But when we look closer at all the location data, we can see that that actually occurs between 12:23:59 and I believe it was 12:24:07.
Let me ask you some questions about what compelled you to look at the 3-point turn and synchronize the clocks. Were you aware of Mr. Whiffen's report where he offered that the last user interaction on Mr. Whiffen's phone was 12:32:09?
Objection.
Sustained.
No. You were asked, did you consider Mr. Whiffen's report where there was a last user interaction of 12:32:09 by the user?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
You were asked if you considered that. Did you know that information?
I did know that information was available and existed, but I did not use that in my analysis for the clock synchronization.
Did that have any part of your motivation to do the clock synchronization?
No, it did not.
Were you attempting to match the synchronization with any of this other information that exists in data?
No, I was not.
You were also asked if you were aware of Mr. O'Keefe's phone that at 12:32:16, it ended its movement.
I was aware of that, yes.
Did that in any way affect your interest or your decision to synchronize the clocks?
No, it did not. So my primary focus and to adjust the clocks was because I thought the PowerPoint slides by Mr. DeSogra were misleading.
When you were shown Exhibit 190, can we have 190, please? You were shown this chart. Was this the entirety of Mr. DeSorga's report?
No, it was not.
Was there text information offered by Mr. DeSorga to give his position or explanation of this?
Yes, there was.
Is that included in this exhibit?
No, it's not.
Did you get a chance to read Mr. DeSorga's report, including the actual text explaining his analysis and process leading to this chart?
Yes, I was.
Did you look at Mr. DeSorga's entire report?
Yes, I did.
All right, move to introduce Mr. DeSorga's report.
Go fetch him, Your Honor.
Okay. So this was triple D for identification. That would be the next.
I think we'll stop there. It just continues to kind of go into verifying the data, the information, and the depth to which it came from.
There's plenty of it available.
And the accuracy to which it is.
Really makes you think, you know, if you've got, speaking on personal situation here, I upgraded my car a year ago. Mm-hmm. I had a 2005 Mini Cooper. So the electronics in my newer car that I got, it is a 2019, mm-hmm. vastly different.
Yeah.
You know, the 2005 left a lot to be desired. It didn't have Bluetooth. It didn't have all the stuff.
Sure.
None of the bells and whistles, even though it was advanced for its time. But it's amazing to think the car I have now has an onboard computer. They all have onboard computers, but this car, you can go in and change different things. You can move to different modes for the engine. It is tracking everything you're doing.
Completely.
Just as you can go in and do stuff with it, it knows everything you're doing.
It's just a log. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very aware. And my phone does connect to it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when you think about what the car is acknowledging with the phone. Mm-hmm. It suddenly taps into the phone and, you know, it's not like it's reading your text messages and getting information, but it knows when you're accessing the phone because now that computer is syncing up to your phone a bit.
It's reading your text messages and laughing.
Oh,
maniacally in the background.
It's like, God, does she talk about anything other than cats?
It's yeah.
Seriously.
Exactly. And then it's going to scheme with the AI apps on the phone.
Right.
And eventually it's going to just take over steering of the vehicle.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is when I started to realize that cars nowadays are kind of like witchcraft. So I have parking assist on my car, which I've never had before. And one day it did take over. Like you have to do a series of events and I haven't figured out what those series of events are to get it to start doing it. But this little blue P pops up, the letter P, and it tells you that it's assessing your parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you get into position, I say with quotes, it starts steering and doing all of it on its own.
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me because I didn't know that it had that.
Oh,
and it started steering. I'm in my driveway and something must have triggered it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a series of events and the car fucking took over.
That would be scary if you didn't know it had that.
And I didn't know. I'm like, what is going on? The wheel starts spinning and the car like starts moving and I'm going, what's happening? It's possessed.
Well, I mean, I've not driven a what's the Elon Musk cars?
The Tesla?
The Teslas. But I know those have, you know, the self-steering and everything on it.
That would terrify me.
I have a Volvo, and it has driver assist steering. So
sure.
It will turn it for you for the most part, but you have to keep your hands on the wheel. And it's not perfect. I mean, it's relying on lines on the road and such. So if you don't have that, it gets a little confused. But it was spooky the first time I had it and used it. So I'm like, I just kind of kept my hand on the wheel very lightly, and the car just turns as it's supposed to turn.
Oof.
And, I mean, we only hit 7 children, you know, and 4 pregnant ladies.
Better than 8.
I know. I mean, I consider that a successful day when you're just trying to make sure that the car is safe, when you're trying out new things, you know, it's just,
Cars are so advanced.
It comes with the territory.
They know so much about you and your habits and what you're doing and what you're not doing. If they extract that information from the car, I mean, my 2005, I probably could have gotten away with all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't now.
You're not trying to get away with your car.
I think you're thinking this, Tony.
A little deep.
No, here's my point. If Karen Reed had been driving my 2005 Mini Cooper when she, you know, had the incident, whatever it was, they wouldn't have all this information.
Correct.
See?
Correct.
So the more advanced these cars are, the more they narc you out. She can't run from what this car's, you know, capable of.
The
car knows everything.
The car is the best witness in this case so far.
Yes.
The Lexus is probably
a luxury car. Holy shit. If you're just driving a Ford F1, well, you know.
No, that shit's got all the stuff too. I have a Platinum, and it's like driving a.
Yeah.
It's got all the bells and whistles of like a Mercedes.
Now I don't know what to compare it to. Is there a basic.
I'm sure there's something, you know, I don't know what, but.
But they may have onboard computers too that are just intense.
I think probably almost everything's going to have some sort of a computer on it. Maybe not necessarily sensors for crash sensing and things like that. That probably is not on everything by any means. But, you know, I'm sure there's a fairly basic, cheap car somewhere.
maybe there's a computer. Maybe it has a little black box hidden in there that nobody knows about until there's some catastrophic accident. And they go, oh, we can just access the box.
I mean, the Geo Metro, those really had, you know, pretty much an alert system. You knew when you crashed because you were dead.
I was going to say, because the car crumpled.
Because you died.
I had a Geo. I can tell you they were not safe cars.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Pancake.
Yeah. I mean, you're tracked on everything now. So just, especially... AI. Yeah,
take note, Brian Koberger.
Ask AI, like, depending. I mean, I use it all the time. I mean, it's mainly work stuff, so it probably thinks I'm a crazy psychopath. But I have asked it, what do you know about me? And surprisingly, it knew a lot. And it wasn't one of those where it's like searching the web for bio information, because I know that's out there. But it was more of a, based on what it had learned from my inquiries and things of that nature. It was talking about me psychologically, of like the type of person I am. And I found that to be interesting because it was pretty spot on. I don't remember all the details, but it was very much like, you know, you're analytical in this. And it was very much, I mean, it knows how I research. It knows what I want and how I like it presented. And it knew like a deeper side of me. It was kind of creepy, you know?
It knows you better than you know yourself, maybe.
I mean, it really, it's like, yeah, that's true. That is true. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Well, it's something to keep in mind that, you know, as we enter into the AI world, and you can avoid it if you want to, but it's not avoiding you. And that's what I just want to get out there, that, oh, I am not into that AI thing. Well, AI is into you.
Guess what? You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice. It's, if you've got an iPhone, it's on your iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't know much about androids. I imagine it's there as well.
You can get it anywhere.
It is everywhere.
Yeah. And it's being incorporated into everything.
It is. I mean, you go onto Amazon and you can chat with AI about a product you're looking at. Target, all the stores, you can have a chat about this item that you're looking at. It's AI is everywhere. And we need to kind of recalibrate our thinking that we are not alone when we go out in the world, even in our own homes. If you have Alexa,
I think we're there already.
Yeah.
I think we're there. You know, I think
you're being listened to.
I think we all know that.
She's swearing at me right now.
No. Oh, because you said the name.
I said her name. It's like, I'm not sure what you're asking.
No. It's not asking. It's listening.
It is listening.
And it knows everything.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.